important topic of death and death to life. And before we had the Bible read and David comes to preach for us, I want us to meet someone and hear a little bit of their story. So, Neil, I wonder if you can join us up here to give him a round of applause. Just tell us who's in your family, Neil.
I'm married to Roz. I've been married to her for 37 years. We have Jasmine, who is 34, and Crystal is 32. Both of them are married and are doing okay.
Good. In terms of your working life, what's been your line of work?
Predominantly, I worked in the meat industry, deboning beef, or known as a beef boner in this country. Started that in 1985. 7 years ago, was made redundant from Sockburn and went out to the opposition out at Belfast. And I just finished off there March this year.
In a day, how many cows would you get through?
Sockburn was 240 with eight beef boners, and Belfast is 405 with 16 beef boners.
Okay, I don't know if you can see from down there, but there's some rather large...
failing.
...parts of Neil. Now, earlier this year, you picked up an injury. Just tell us about that.
Sure. First off, last year I thought I'd treat myself to the first time ever a men's warrant of fitness. And men, you know what happens in those, okay? To me, it was an intimidating thing. And so I went to the doctors and over about a two-hour consultation, which cost a small fortune. He did some checks and all the rest of it, and a couple of days later he gets back to me. But in this time, I thought I was doing cartilage and muscle in the sides of my ribs and things like that. And I was going through the ACC thing, and it was healing up over a period of 4 weeks. And then eventually through February, March, things were getting bad, and I thought, no, this is not good. Went back to the doctors, and through a process and of time, quite a bit of time, I went in for x-rays, and they said, well, it's not cartilage. You've been damaging or muscle. You've got broken ribs. I thought, well, that's how do you break ribs? Anyway, he sent me through for a CT scan, and it came back that I was diagnosed with a cancerous condition called multiple myeloma. If you don't know what that is, it's a blood cancer, and it attacks your bones, hence I was getting broken ribs.
In terms of what you've been told about the future, what have the doctors told you about your prognosis?
It's an incurable disease. It does have a time limit as far as longevity is concerned. There are some good aspects in this, and that is when I first got diagnosed, I asked the doctor, what's the outcome here? He said, well, 6 to 9 months, that's without chemotherapy. So I thought, well, that's not sort of too bad, because the guy before me probably got 3 weeks or something like that, what it's like. But anyway, I was started off in chemotherapy and got with a hematologist, and he said I'm responding really well to the treatments and all that. His outcome is, look, we could probably get 5 years out of you, maybe seven with new technologies and medicine coming through and all the rest of it. So currently at the moment, I've been on a chemotherapy program. The 16th of this month, I go in for the big one, and then also a couple of weeks ago, they collected stem cells out of me, and after that chemotherapy, in a week or so, my stem cells will go back in. So,
you've been a Christian a long time,
yes,
many years, but this kind of thing obviously is a huge shock and massive thing to kind of process. Mm. Can you just tell us, in the months that you've had so far, how being a follower of Christ is helping you, or the difference you feel that's making to you?
Sure. If it wasn't for Christ, I don't know where I'd be. But it's His all sufficiency that sustains me. And every day, you know, we as Christians, we commit ourselves to some degree, you know, in the Word and in fellowship with Him. But since this diagnosis, it's given me a deep appreciation for what is coming. And it's, you know, it's like you want to go on a trip to around the world, maybe Germany or England or something like that. You do some research, you know, and you look up the points of interest that you'd like to see. But when it comes to the Scriptures, and I look in Revelation, you know, the Lord Jesus, high and mighty, sitting on His throne, dressed in sardis and jasper, and you know, and this emerald rainbow around the crowd, around the throne, sorry, and you have these pictures in your mind of what it's going to be like, and spread out before Him, you know, as a multitude of innumerable people, and adoration and worship to Him, and when you come to a state as I've experienced, you soon realise, you know, it doesn't take much to realise that really at the heart of a Christian's life, we just want to be with our Saviour. And it's like, you know, we turn our eyes toward Him. And as the song goes, you know, we turn our eyes toward Jesus and we look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. You know, and that the words of that song, you know, are so impacting for me. And the encouragement that I've received from Him, you know, through His word, to me it's almost unexplainable. I can explain some in words, but other things, it's just almost something between me and my God, you know. So,
yep. Thanks very much, Neil. It's just very encouraging to hear that. I mean, they're difficult times, but I wonder if you can you chart anything that you feel is good that God has brought out of it so far? Sometimes people can't, but sometimes they can. Is there anything that you've seen that is a kind of obvious good thing or benefit that God has brought out of your condition?
Yes. I had a friend many years ago that I did a lot of hunting with, and for various reasons we sort of fell apart and didn't see eye to eye over certain issues. But since this condition, we've been back in touch, and it's just so great, the goodness of God, and broken friendships, and come back, and it's like after 20 years just meeting face to face as if it was the day when we were in good company with each other. And this is what the mind, it seems like a minor thing, but actually to me it is quite compounding. It's fantastic. The other issues are my friends. I have a large company of friends who keep on coming around home, and it's been about 6 months or so, and I really, really delight in having them as brothers in the Lord. Many of them, or a few of them, are non-Christian, from what would you call on the peripherals of society and gang situations and stuff like that. And it's just good that they can come around to my place and sit down, and if the opportunity arises, to speak about Christ. So
that's terrific. You've given us one thing to pray for there in terms of the people that you're mixing with, but also anything for yourself that you'd value prayer for at the moment?
Just that I'd remain faithful to the Lord. My family are fantastic. My wife is such a committed Christian, that she would also, like me, you know, continue in the things of God, keeping our eyes stayed on Him. And that we would remain absolutely faithful to Him and His word. There's one scripture I would like to share with you that really encourages me, because it's just like the bedrock of the assurance of the salvation that He's provided for me. And it's John 14, verse 1 and verse 3. And it says, "Let not your heart be troubled," you know, because in situations like this, it's easy to take your eyes off the Lord and place them on your situation and think, well, surely there could have been a better way to get out of life, maybe a heart attack or something like that, instead of sort of lingering on. But he says, you know, the Lord says, you know, don't let your heart be troubled. Just, it's all cool, you know, it's okay. I've got this under control. I know what I'm doing. He says, you believe in God? Believe also in me. Yes, Lord, I do. I do believe in you. I believe in the Father. And he makes this promise that he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says he's going to go away and prepare a place for me and for his children. And then he's going to come back one day to take us to that place, and we will be with him forevermore, face to face with our Lord in that great society of angels and men, in adoration to him. And if I may just share one more scripture, Costa, from Jeremiah 29:11. It was a verse that God gave to me when I first got saved back in 1981. One that I've held on to through thick and thin. And the Lord says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to do you good and not evil. Plans to give you a future and a hope. And these verses have come back, especially that one there, for this day, when it seems like there's an end coming to life, and I'm fully accepting of that, but the plans of a future and a hope, my hope is in Christ, and I look forward to being with him when that day comes.
Thanks for your encouragement. Thanks also for your example. Let's pray, bow our heads now, and pray for Neil and his family. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for our brother here, remembering also his wife, Roz, and their daughters and grandchildren as well, and ask that you would help them to remain faithful. Please help them to remain assured of your goodness towards them. Please help them to entrust themselves every day to your loving, fatherly care. Lord, we do pray for the people that Neil knows and his friends, asking that you would use this difficulty, this trial, for good in their lives, that you would bring some of them to a saving knowledge of Christ. And we rejoice in the reconciliation with this other man, and pray that you would be at work in him to strengthen him in his faith all the days of his life. Lord, we do commit Neil to you, strengthen him, but help us also to follow in his example. And in the day of difficulty, in the day of trial, would you help us to remain close to you? Help us not to turn from you, but please, we pray, help us to turn towards you, to commit ourselves to you, to entrust ourselves to you, and to know your kindness, your fatherly goodness towards us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.